News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
I'm here down in the Guinness Enterprise Centre, and I'm about to meet the chairman of the said enterprise, Mr. David Varian. David, you're very welcome to the programme.
You're very welcome to the Guinness Enterprise Centre, or the GEC as we call it, Bobby. Yeah.
The GEC, which we'll get to in a minute, but I wanted to maybe just chat about yourself and your own business career, David. Yeah. You're a chemical engineer who grew up in Cork. Tell us about the early days.
Yeah, I did grow up in Cork. I grew up, reared there, educated there. And my first job after graduating was in the Irish refining company, Whitegater Oil Refinery, if you remember that. It's still there. That was 83, I think it was. Maybe there was no jobs around, so I was lucky enough to get one as a process engineer. But I stayed there only 2 years, so I was one of the guys who got a job and then left, as opposed to didn't have a job and left. And Amoco Oil Company had built a big refinery in Milford Haven in Wales. They were looking for process engineers, state-of-the-art place. Had to go and see what it was like. So I applied, got the job, and went there. I spent 2 good years there. I then went to work for Imperial Chemical Industries, ICI. If you remember them.
Big organisation. And again, I when I was looking at it, I said, I know that company, but I just don't know. But I do remember them.
You remember they had a CEO called John Harvey Jones, remember? Do you remember?
Absolutely.
He wrote books and all that kind of stuff. Now, at the time, as you mentioned, that was Britain's biggest company.
Yeah.
It was into everything from petrochemicals, paints, explosives, advanced materials, polythene, everything you mentioned, pharmaceuticals as well. And that doesn't exist anymore.
Amazing, isn't it?
Isn't that incredible? So I spent 10 years there, again in manufacturing, looking after petrochemical plants, basically. And then I moved on into strategy with ICI. And then one day, a headhunter called me. Asked me, was I interested to come and work for a beverage company in Ireland? So I said I wasn't. And just by chance, I mentioned it to my wife at dinner that evening, and she said, that's Guinness. You need to ring them back. So that was code for I want to go back to Ireland, because she was she wanted to come back to Ireland. She's Irish as well. So I did. I ended up running a brewery in Dundalk. And then I came down to the St. James's Gate Brewery, spent 5 years here running that brewery, fantastic time of transformation in the brewery. And then I went on to do kind of European roles, did global roles. I looked after Diageo's logistics globally at one stage.
Wow.
Which was really interesting. Many jobs in between and strategy. And my last job actually was responsible for a bunch of Diageo's operations in Africa. Where we've got a lot of activity there. And then I retired just over a year ago.
Good man. Yeah. And just, you know, how long were you with Diageo all up?
25 years.
And you mentioned there your final job in Africa. Yeah. I'm told that the brewery in Nigeria is, what, the world's biggest brewery?
Not anymore.
Up there?
It was up there, not anymore. The biggest now is in Mexico, Modelo. Or actually, probably in China, in fact. I mean, the biggest beer brand in the world is?
Guinness.
Snow Lager. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's a Chinese lager. So the world of brewing is very big. But yes, we've got a lot of operations in Africa. Fascinating place, vibrant place, really vibrant. Now, anything can happen, of course, and you need to be prepared for that. You know, you might get a call and say, well, the brewery has no water, or the brewery has got no electricity, and it's not going to have it, what are we going to do? And all those kind of things that you wouldn't deal with necessarily here.
Yeah.
But really great people, really love my time in Africa. But I've worked all over the world with Diageo,
yeah.
Traveled a lot. It was a great place, actually.
It's wonderful in one's career if you find, you know, somewhere, a company like that can, you know, give you 5 or 6 jobs over your career, that you don't get bored there. And all this opportunity, because they're a world business, because they were always a growing business, opportunity kind of presents itself.
It does, and I think you've got to be open to that opportunity as well. You know, somebody asked me, well, before, I've often asked, what did you want to be when you were young, you know? I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to be when I was young. I always wanted to do well at sport, or I wanted to do well at study or whatever. I was the kind of classic guy of, I don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just took opportunities. I always say that to my kids as well. If you're in a job and they say there's a project, just say yes, within reason. And you don't know where that might lead you. And it could lead you all over the world, meet so many different people, have so many different experiences. And that was kind of my philosophy, really. And Diageo did offer that. It's a great company. And but it was time to leave it.
So retired, but you know, you're like a bit like myself. You say you're retired, but you're not really, because you're now the chairman of this wonderful out, which is the GEC, as you called it, the Guinness Enterprise Centre. Now, maybe we'll go down into the centre, David, and you can just tell me a little bit about this entity and this business, because I know you're doing great things here. Now, my guest this week in the executive chair is David Varian. He's the chairman of the Guinness Enterprise Centre. He was telling me earlier about his business career, but now he's brought me into the bowels of the GEC, the Guinness Enterprise Centre, and he's going to tell me a little bit about what happens here. David, as I understand it, this building was donated in the early days by Diageo. Tell us exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, well, what's going on here is this is Ireland's largest startup campus.
Okay.
And I would say probably its most vibrant entrepreneurial space. And it started in 2000 when Diageo, along with Dublin City Council, Enterprise Ireland, Dublin BIC, Dublin Business Innovation Centre now further, and the local enterprise office got together to say, how can we create business activity in Dublin 8? Was kind of the basis for it. So what Diageo did was provided this warehouse and some money. Other stakeholders provided some money and built out this campus. And it's been here for 25 years.
So what have we got here today? How many businesses approximately do we have? How many people work out of here? It is a real contributor, as you say, to Dublin 8.
Yeah, it's 100,000 square feet. We've got 750 people employed by companies here,
wow.
Which is quite a bit. There's about 350 people here every day on average. We have people swipe in, swipe out. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. We've got 160 resident companies, 20 or 30 co-working companies. And that's the scale of it. But, you know, you can talk about the building and all of that, but it's not about the building. It's about the sort of supports that we put around the startup companies here is the key kind of thing that we do.
And one of the greatest things that a startup company can have is like-minded company. In other words, yeah. You meet a fella in the canteen, you're having a coffee, he's the same problems you have. He may be in a different business, but he or she is ultimately on the same journey.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. It can be a lonely place if you're starting up. You know, if it's you, maybe you and your buddy, and if not much is happening and you're sitting at home and you're not quite sure what to do, that's not great. So in here, what we do is we wrap a lot of supports around these companies to get them investor ready, really, is kind of the key thing. You know, we introduce them to funders, we cluster them together so they get like-minded people in the industries that they're in. We do peer-to-peer meetings, and essentially we help them navigate the enterprise support ecosystem. I mean, that's probably what, in summary, we do here. And companies grow from one or two up to whatever. We like to have about a churn of about 10% per annum of companies.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because I suppose part of one of the barometers for your success would be that companies outgrow here, that they're successful. They need, you know, they're scaling up in numbers. And you don't probably want a company here employing 300 or 400 people.
No.
But you want to maybe be part of that company when it had 10 employees.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. So, as I say, we looked for this churn of about 10%. And how we fund the place, actually, is that companies pay either a desk or a rooms fee. So when a company grows up, isn't it great? You've got 30, 40 people, now we're getting income for 30, 40 desks. But no, we got to let that go, because that we got to let them go out on their own now. Yeah. Our job is done. We're about early startup companies, and then we get the next batch of companies coming through. That's how it works.
I noticed earlier there was a visiting group from overseas. So one of the things I think that you do is, you know, Chamber of Commerce, universities from the States, from other places, they visit here with, I suppose, the identification of particular businesses that they can use or work with, which again is a great asset for a small business here that potentially you're producing customers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the reputation of the GEC has grown globally over the last 25 years, and we do have all these delegations from chambers of commerce across the world. We've got a lot of delegations from universities. We're linked with about 50 universities across the world. University programs, we've got about 30, 40 university visits every year. That's an MBA program. So they come and they have events here where they immerse themselves in entrepreneurship. From that then, you know, say if Bobby Kerr had an idea for a company and I was an MBA student in Fordham University, for example, in the US, I could take your business as my project and you get my brains.
Okay.
Right? And it extends beyond that, the connections, as you could imagine, where then companies go and get business in the US from those connections, either through chambers of commerce, through universities. And we were recognized globally as the best incubator university program in the world recently.
David Varian, chairman of the GEC, the Guinness Enterprise Centre, thanks so much for showing me around and for joining us on Down to Business today.
Thank you, Bobby. Pleasure.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.